In a stadium rich with tradition, the lights shine the brightest. This is The Camp. Now, here's your host, Zach Heilprin, on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Yes, welcome into The Camp. I'm Zach Heilprin. He is the Athletics' Jesse Temple. The Badgers had a very important weekend on the recruiting front last weekend, and it has resulted in two commits with a third on the way. Jesse, obviously, a lot of the guys that came this weekend were already committed, but several weren't and now are. Vernon Woodward, the cornerback out of Florida, and Hank Weber, the defensive lineman out of Tennessee, are now Badgers.
Yeah, we knew this was going to be a huge month for the Badgers. It typically is, because you get these out-of-state kids, and some of them have been to campus before, but several of them haven't, and they have preconceived notions about what Madison is. How often do you read quotes from these kids or hear stories about them saying, "I thought Madison was in the middle of a field and there was nothing there," and then they get here and realize, oh my God, this place is really special, and obviously the weather's great, they see the campus and the terrace, and there's a lot of momentum with the football program, and they realize this is a place where they want to be. So it was a massive recruiting weekend. I don't have the history of stats on the number of official visitors that Wisconsin has had in a given weekend, but I would venture to guess this may be a record, because they had 17 kids up there. As you mentioned, six of them were commits. And that's important too, because you get the guys who are already on board and all they have to say are positive things about the program. And I think that obviously filters down to the 11 uncommitted players who were there. So they had 17 players and a couple commits so far. We're expecting there to be more on the way, but I think Wisconsin, clearly they had a plan with this recruiting staff and the coaching staff going into June, and so far they're executing it very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to see how different staffs do official visits, and you know, there are the things that feel like everyone does, you know, the photo shoots, right? And just the different things. But it looked like Luke Fickle, you know, kind of opening things up. I think they played laser tag at Camp Randall. It looked like they were all suited up, at least in Mabry Mettauer's photo. I don't know if you talked to guys about that. I'm guessing you probably didn't. They went out to Fickle's house, which has a basketball court in the basement, and were playing out there. So it's always interesting to see how different people deal with these official visits and how to best show the players what it would be like to be here.
Right. Well, the whole idea is to show them the best time that they can possibly have and give them a reason to want to commit and stick around. And Wisconsin's obviously been able to do that. And as we're having this discussion, the Badgers now have 10 commits. They've crept up into the top 20 of the 24/7 sports composite. Now they're going to have to do a whole heck of a lot more work to finish the cycle out that way. But couldn't ask for much more. I know that, I mean, maybe we get into this, that people are probably wondering, they get excited. I feel as though fans get more excited if they land the in-state guys. And there've been a couple that obviously Wisconsin didn't land. And so maybe fans just don't know as much about these kids, but Wisconsin obviously has a national reach and they've been targeting these guys for quite a long time. And ultimately we'll never know right now how it's going to wind up, but 3-4 years from now, we'll get the full picture. But so far they've done everything that they've set out to do and certainly not done yet.
All right. So the two guys that have committed, mentioned earlier, Vernon Woodward and Hank Weber. Let's start with the guy who committed on Sunday first, Vernon Woodward. My suggestion for everybody out there is go find you someone who loves you like the Wisconsin Badgers love tall cornerbacks, because they just get after it with the big guys. We talked about it earlier, all the trying to think back to the old cornerbacks or the older previous cornerbacks that were over 6 foot. And it feels like every single guy Wisconsin is targeting is over 6 foot. And Vernon Woodward fills that bill. He's 6'2", 180, 185, a three-star recruit out of Winter Park, Florida. He is, again, very much in the mold of what this staff has zeroed in on.
If you, I referenced this when we were discussing Amari Snowden a little while back, but if you looked at Wisconsin's spring practice roster, granted, it's changed since then, but all 10 of the Badgers cornerbacks on that spring practice roster were listed between 5'9 and 5'11. Cornerbacks coach Paul Haynes, Luke Fickell, the staff in general, clearly favors a different type of body and something that really Wisconsin hasn't traditionally had a ton of, and not up and down the roster at cornerback. I know they want different body types, but just look at the guys who are taking official visits this month. You have Vernon Woodward, who committed, 6'2". You've got Lloyd Irvin is 6'3". He's going to be visiting this weekend. He's a cornerback from Maryland. Jay Harper is a cornerback from Alabama. He's 6 feet tall. Everyone is 6 feet, 6'1", 6'2", and some are 6'3". And that's very different from what Wisconsin has recruited to in the past. Now, I'm not saying one is better than the other, but theoretically, you get some of those taller athletic cornerbacks, and they could be more physical in the Big Ten against some of those receivers down the field. It certainly worked for Fickell and staff at Cincinnati, and we'll see whether it works for the Badgers.
So there's so Vernon Woodward, obviously, as you mentioned, maybe in the exact type of frame that Wisconsin now likes. And I think it's an interesting attack. It's not as if I don't think anybody else has ever thought about this, where you're just like, hey, let's throw some tall corners out there to deal with all the tall wide receivers you're going to face. But there's challenges to it, obviously. Not every tall corner is going to be good enough athletically to play at this level. And so it's an interesting, I don't want to call it an experiment, because they obviously did it at Cincinnati as well and were pretty successful with it. But it is a little bit, I don't want to say out there. Again, they've done it. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's a depart.
Right.
You go ahead.
No, you're right. You're about to say it's a departure from what they've done in the past.
Exactly. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that this staff isn't willing to go after guys who are under 6 feet. Jonas Duclona, a guy that they obviously went hard after, was a Cincinnati commit, and they were able to get him to come to Wisconsin after he decommitted. He's 5'11", 170, or at least he was listed on the signing day roster. I know the weights have changed, but Jay Sarnold was 5'9". Now, he was committed under the previous staff, but both those guys had very strong spring practice sessions, as we discussed on numerous occasions, exited spring as the number two corners on the outside. But I think we are going to continue to see them go after a different body type. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out down the road. But I do think, and we mentioned this a handful of weeks ago, too, what are the types of corners that can kind of help take your secondary to the next level? Some of those bigger bodied guys are the ones that you often end up seeing have NFL potential. And like we said, there've not been a ton of cornerbacks that Wisconsin's had that have been NFL level guys. And that's one of those positions that can be the difference, especially when you're trying to elevate your program to another level. I think the only couple cornerbacks that we saw that in the last decade or so that ended up being drafted were Rashad Wildgoose and Fayon Hicks, but it hasn't been very common for Wisconsin at that position.
Who'd you say?
Rashad Wildgoose and Fayon Hicks.
Did you say in the last decade?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nick Nelson as well.
Nick Nelson. Yeah. Nick Nelson as well.
Oh, because he's a transfer. Not counting him. Gotcha.
Well,
right. we don't count transfers here, apparently.
No. Okay. Let me revise that. So Nick Nelson, and he was in the story that I had, but it was on guys that Wisconsin was able to develop that they brought in. Obviously, they developed Nelson, but he was a two-star signee from Hawaii. He came here, he played a season, and had a great year. And so Wisconsin deserves credit for that, but the list isn't very long. Let's put it that way.
It's all good. Yes, all good. All right, so Vernon Woodward was the first commit on Sunday, and then Hank Weber comes in out of Tennessee, a place Wisconsin does not normally get guys from. I don't know if you have ever gone through it to look to see how many guys they've gotten from the state of Tennessee, but the only one I could think of off the top of my head was Rafael Gaglianone, and obviously he was not from the state of Tennessee, just played there in high school. Do you know? I'm trying to think. We're going to sound so stupid when people are like, this guy played there. He was here 2 years ago. But I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Comes to mind. Kurt Phillips comes to mind.
There you go, Kurt Phillips. That was a minute ago. He was class of 2008. So I'm all right with that. 15 years ago.
I think there's some other ones in there, but now that I'm on the spot, I don't have the Rolodex of who's from Tennessee that's committed to the Badgers.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, may just cut that out. So we'll see. Yes. So Hank Weber jumps in. He was down to, I believe, well, I shouldn't say down to, but he was seriously looking at North Carolina and Vanderbilt, had official visits scheduled to those places. He comes to Wisconsin and ends up choosing the Badgers after what he saw.
When we talked to defensive line coach Greg Scruggs back in February, he was asked about his recruiting approach. And even the way he talked, you could see how passionate he was about that approach. He talked about the importance of developing relationships with players. And I know that that's kind of become cliche in recruiting, but that is really something that he values a ton so that they can have a firm understanding of who he is, not just as a football coach, but off the field as well. And then the expectations that players can have of him. Very clearly, Scruggs was able to develop a bond quickly with Weber. Weber actually came for a game last season under the previous staff last September, but this new staff offered him a scholarship in February. Weber was able to come up for the launch in April and then obviously came back for the first weekend of official visits and committed. And I had a chance to talk to Weber's high school coach at Brentwood Academy, because I asked him about like why Wisconsin, because you mentioned Vanderbilt and North Carolina. He visited North Carolina at least six times over the last 2 years, and Vanderbilt was in the mix as well. His coach wanted to know why. Why are you picking Wisconsin, and like what's the driving force? And Weber told him that it was the totality of the program, that obviously you've got the school, the level of competition, the history, the academics. But those relationships were huge. And this is something that Weber's high school coach said. It is easy to see that from the conversations that that Hank had, that his coach had from guys at Wisconsin, that not only are they good at what they do, but they do a really good job of building relationships. And so I think that obviously was a big piece to the puzzle. So now Wisconsin has, in addition on the defensive line, which we know how important that is, and they needed reinforcements that were younger guys, because if you look at the roster for next season, 8 of the team's 11 scholarship players at the position are set to be upperclassmen. So I think this is a quality pickup. You know, there's no way to know at this stage, and you're never going to say, oh, guy is terrible. But his high school coach was talking about how their defense in high school utilizes a lot of the same concepts that Cincinnati did, and presumably Wisconsin will. So it could be a very good fit, because the guy's versatile. He can play in a lot of fronts, but I'd expect him to come in as a defensive end for Wisconsin.
It's always intriguing to see guys from, well, I mean, you mentioned you've been up here before, so this wasn't the first time you had a chance to see it, but I wonder how different it was for him to see what it was back then, what it is now. How different do you think it is for guys?
Well, I've talked to a lot of recruits in the last 6 months or so, going back to really the junior day visits, which Wisconsin had 2 weekends of junior day visits in January. And a lot of those guys, the reason Wisconsin was targeting them at that point was because they had been top targets under the previous staff. Not all, but most of them. And the biggest thing that they talked about was the energy and enthusiasm that they felt. Certainly from the recruiting department, but also the coaching staff. And that's not to say that the previous staff wasn't, you know, invested in making sure that Wisconsin was a good program, but this staff is obviously operating in a different way. And so I think that was first and foremost the thing that recruits have talked about. But when you actually have a chance to watch practices, and you and I got to see all 15 of them, and we know how different it is in terms of the tempo and intensity. But those are the things that, to me, in talking to these guys, have stood out the most, that are some differences, and players gravitate toward that energy and enthusiasm, and they want to be a part of it.
Yeah, definitely do. So they have, obviously, those two guys, we said, more coming, and there will be, because they've got two more huge weekends. Was it two more or three more huge weekends? I think it's two.
Yeah, there's at least a couple more where they've got...
A bunch of guys coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... The 9th, obviously, and then the 16th for a couple more big weekends. But again, off this past weekend, expecting a few more. Of the guys that did come that have yet to commit, I think the one that stood out that people are really keeping an eye on is probably Darian Dupree, right? The running back out of Illinois, who Wisconsin is it needs a lot. I'll say that. I'm not going to say desperate. They desperately need him, but he is obviously a huge, huge target for them. He's got some other official visits that he's going to take. How important for you, at least, is it for them to close on him?
I think he is must get feels like a stretch for any player because there are always going to be other guys available on a board. But to me, he's the one that Wisconsin's got to land out of all the guys that have come just because of his talent level and the position in general. Look at the running back room right now. You have Ches Malusi, who's going to be gone after this season. Braylon Allen, who we all expect to be gone. He's talked about it too. So is Luke Fickell, that he would declare for the NFL draft. And then you're left with, if the roster stays the way that it is, three scholarship running backs. You've got to have more. And not only do you need more, but you need quality. And Dupree right now is that guy. He's got an opportunity to be the marquee player, marquee running back coming in for Wisconsin. And certainly I think that appeals to him. They've been on him for quite some time. He's taken multiple visits at this stage. And I can't blame a kid for wanting to see through the rest of his official visits. Some of these guys, like the ones we're talking about, they had other official visits lined up for this month and they chose to commit to the Badgers. But that's what June is for. That's what official visit season is for. You get the school to pay for your trip. You get an opportunity to go someplace you might not otherwise be able to see. And so he's going to see it through. Now, one school on that list that maybe if you're a Badgers fan, you're certainly intrigued by what he's going to do is Michigan. But the thing is, they've already got a commitment from Jordan Marshall, who was a four-star running back who had Wisconsin in his top four. And I think if you've got an opportunity to come to a place like Wisconsin in this new offense and be the guy, that's certainly very appealing. I don't know. I think Wisconsin could potentially take two running backs. It would make sense to me just because of how the numbers shake out. They've got other guys that are going to be coming here in the next couple of weeks. Gideon Nutuka is one kid. He's a 5'9 running back from Maryland. He'll be up here this weekend. There's a four-star running back that they've locked in a couple of weeks from now named Dylan Jones, another kid from Maryland. But and to me, Dupree so far is the guy that they've got to land just because, again, his skill level and getting four-star running back, that's a big deal at a place like Wisconsin.
Definitely is. You mentioned, I know he's got Michigan, he's got Illinois, and he's got Missouri. Those are the other three official visits I believe he's got scheduled at this time. Those coming up here over the next few weeks. So also, you mentioned the excitement of around in-state recruits, right? I think that was something that you mentioned earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the 2024 class in the state was very, very good, right? So many really good players, four-star players. And at this time, Wisconsin is not going to get them, right? Obviously Donovan Harbor and Corey Smith and Garrett Sexton all committed to Penn State. Nathan Roy has announced his top three, and it does not include Wisconsin. It includes UCLA, Michigan State, and Minnesota. I think it's healthy speculation and probably speculation that's accurate that he's probably going to end up back, may end up at UCLA where his brother plays. So there are circumstances for each guy that you can explain it away. But how big of a concern is that, if at all, for you when it comes to the early success here in terms of keeping guys in the state that you want? And again, I know they didn't want all of them. So I think that's at least worth noting.
Well, that's to me why it's not as big of a concern as I think some fans, not all, but I certainly received a lot of questions. And whenever I put out the call for mailbags, there are questions about this staff blowing up what Wisconsin has done for the better part of 30 years and not pursuing the in-state players. I think that's a bit overblown. And I don't want to, rehash everything with the Donovan Harbor and Corey Smith situation, but obviously Wisconsin staff felt that there were other players that would be a better fit. Certainly they have other players on their board and on the offensive line, guys that they feel like fit very well that are quality players. The Sexton situation, I mean, if you really wanted him, you should have offered him sooner. They thought he needed some time to perhaps fill out. And then when they did offer him, he already had his list of finalists. They had other people on their board. The Nathan Roy situation is interesting because out of all the guys from the state, that was the one that I feel like you would have said, well, Badgers really have to get him to establish the, we are the only FBS program in the state. We're going to go get these guys. But to your point, there are other circumstances that you know, this staff can't control. And I'm not trying to give this staff a pass for not getting Roy or not having him in the top group. But what I would say is they've always got other players on their board, other offensive tackles. And I do think when we look forward to 2025 and beyond, the state is still going to be a significant part of the recruiting process. The 2025 class, they've already got four or five offers out to guys in the state, and they've had all of them on campus. So it's a little early to judge what it's going to look like, but you know, look at the end of the cycle and see what Wisconsin ends up with. Like, if Wisconsin gets Darian Dupree and potentially another running back, I think you've got to feel awfully good about that. Even if they don't have a Corey Smith, which is a name that fans have known for a couple of years. If Wisconsin gets Kevin Haywood, another name that we may as well mention now, certainly expect him by the time people listen to this to be a Badger. You know, that's a four-star offensive tackle who's from Pennsylvania, and that's going to be an area that I think Wisconsin is able to do very well in. You know, safeties coach Colin Hitchler is from the Philadelphia area, and I think is going to be able to recruit that area very well. And so to get, it doesn't matter, I think, necessarily where you get a guy. If he's a four-star offensive tackle, if you go and get him, then you've got to feel good about that. So the state's going to be very important, but this is a program with a national reach, and this staff has ties to different parts of the country. And as long as you get really good players, I think that's kind of where it starts first and foremost.
I think it's worth mentioning that Kevin Haywood does have a Penn State offer and was there quite a bit earlier in his time. So it's not as if he's from Pennsylvania and Penn State did not want him. Now they've gotten a number of commits along the offensive line. I think they've got like five or six offensive line commits. It's kind of insane. They've obviously had issues along all the offensive line. So it's not as if they like getting him is somehow a consolation prize. I think it's a huge get considering some of his offers. Got offers from Alabama, was down there with Nick Saban. You look at his Twitter feed, he's got a picture with Nick Saban. Makes Nick Saban look like a three-year-old. It's kind of funny to see some of these guys lined up next to Nick Saban. But as long as there's talent coming in, it doesn't necessarily matter where it's coming in. It just, for the most part, you kind of feel like if it's from Wisconsin, it would be an easier get. And that has not proven to be the case. And it's not just this staff, the last staff as well. It's not as easy as it used to be. And I think that has a lot to do with camps. I think it has a lot to do with social media, has a lot to do with the reach of programs and getting into houses that maybe, that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, kids weren't seen all the time. So it's not as easy to keep guys in state, you know, and obviously what Barry Alvarez did when he first came in and locking up the state, putting a wall around the state, it's a different time than that time, and it's going to be very difficult to keep these guys in. But you're right, there's a ton of talent in that 2025 class with Owen Strebig and James Flanagan and Michael Reske. Obviously, Charlie Hartnick is already committed to Stanford, but you think about Trey Poteet and Cooper Catalano, a lot of really good players in the state that Wisconsin is after in 2025 as well. And so they'll have another shot to try and, you know, reel them in. But it's going to be a very interesting month of June here, the rest of June for Wisconsin as they try to build up this class that is still right now inside the top 25 in the country. Change of gears here a little bit. Monte Ball is now going to be a member of the UW Hall of Fame, UW Athletics Hall of Fame. Was announced yesterday as the class of 2023. And also on that same day, big day for him, announced as a candidate for the 2024 College Football Hall of Fame class, 78 players. He was, and I know you had an opportunity to cover him for the final 2 years of his career. He was that dude on the field.
Yeah, I mean, very deserving of a College Football Hall of Fame honor. I don't know what more a running back could do. When he left his time at Wisconsin, he had 83 touchdowns total, which was an FBS record. And yes, he was the beneficiary of the greatest offense that Wisconsin has ever had. Having Russell Wilson certainly didn't hurt, I think. Was it 9 of the 11 starters on offense became NFL draft picks, and you had offensive linemen who were not even in the starting rotation become longtime NFL players? But he scored 39 touchdowns that season, and that tied Barry Sanders' record, though Monte took more games to do it. Just a phenomenal college career, and certainly deserving of the honors that that he's receiving.
He definitely is. It's so remarkable that little things here or there change careers. And with Monte, it was in 2010 against Ohio State, barely play. He didn't play. And there was the thought to move him to the other side of the ball, right? It was a thought to move him to defense. And the next week when they play at Iowa, James White gets hurt and John Clay is dinged up. And all of a sudden, Monte gets thrown in there and had a ridiculous game. And then obviously had the game-winning touchdown where he drives through and gets the ball over the goal line for a touchdown against Iowa in what is, I think, one of the best games I've ever seen in person. And after that, it just go, go, go. And he ended up with 996 that year, finished 4 yards short of 1,000 yards that year. They would have had 3 1,000-yard rushers if he had gotten 4 more yards in that Rose Bowl game. But then obviously comes back with 1,900 the next year and 1,800 the following year and scores 83 touchdowns in his career. It was and somehow didn't win the Doak Walker Award in 2011. I think they went to Trent Richardson instead, but came back in 2012 and did win it. So yes, obviously a ton of accolades on the field and deserving of the recognition for both of these things. We'll see what happens with the College Football Hall of Fame. You would think a guy who's put up that type of numbers and is right there in terms of most touchdowns ever in college football history. I believe he's second right now. I think the Reynolds kid from Navy is the only one that has more than him. So it's an impressive resume, and I'm sure it's going to be close. But I would imagine at some point he gets in. I think Melvin at some point obviously is going to get in too. What do you think? His numbers, well, career-wise, not necessarily at that level, but still.
Melvin's the greatest running back I've ever seen at Wisconsin, but I was not here for Ron Dayne. So I can at least say since 2011, and that includes Jonathan Taylor, Monte Ball, James White. He had the greatest single season. He was doing things that were remarkable. And I mean, the same with Taylor. It's unbelievable to think that the number of amazing running backs they've had in the last decade, but that season alone warrants a special place in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes. I mean, his second all time to Barry in total yards in a season. It's crazy that Barry did it in 11 games. And Melvin got 14, I believe, to do it. So yes, but I think he gets in, and then obviously Jonathan Taylor is going to get in at some point too. So they could have three of their running backs from the 2010s in the College Football Hall of Fame. That's kind of ridiculous.
Think about this. I've got maybe I'm a nerd or it's my job, I've got the Wisconsin football record book open to page 47. And the average yards per carry on minimum 300 attempts at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you remember what Melvin's is? You have a ballpark estimate on what his average yards per carry was for his entire career?
7.1.
7.79.
Oh.
Jonathan Taylor, who had, if you took out other Wisconsin running backs, the greatest career ever, 6.67. He's more than a yard per carry behind Melvin. That says all you need to know about how incredible Melvin was. And really, it came in a condensed period.
It did. I mean, he was a spot player in 2012. Wasn't even the starter in 2013. James White was still ran for 1,600 yards, and then just goes off for 2587. So, yes, Melvin Gordon, I agree with you. He's the best running back I've seen at Wisconsin. And I know Jonathan Taylor was ridiculous, but that yards per game or yards per carry is just off the charts crazy to me, especially considering in 2014, they had no pass. They had nothing of a passing attack to take pressure off of him. And yet he still did what he did. I mean, his Nebraska game, will go down in history. And we're talking about, obviously we got on this topic because of Monte Ball. But what they did, what they've done to Nebraska on the ground since they've come into the conference, my goodness, it should be illegal. It should be illegal what they've done in Nebraska. I think a lot of people in Nebraska would agree, because they have just absolutely abused them almost every time they played, almost every time they played on the ground. Just some insane performances, starting with that, obviously, in 2011 game here, and then the 2012 championship game, and then 2014, and then 2017. It's just game after game. Wisconsin running backs have to be just running in Nebraska fans' nightmares. So
one more Melvin Gordon stat is that 2014 season, Wisconsin's got a list of the record for average yards per carry with a minimum of 100 attempts in a given season. So in Melvin's 2014 season, he averaged 7.54 yards per rushing attempt. And that was only bested by one other season in the history of the program. Melvin Gordon in 2013, 7.81 yards. So that's all you need to know.
Absolutely remarkable. Remarkable. So he'll be in the Hall of Fame very soon. All right. I had an opportunity to catch up with Chimray Dike. He's got his football camp coming up here in a couple of weeks, to chat with him about his workouts and the throwing sessions that they're going to be doing here this summer, and a few other topics as well. Here is that interview. And we do welcome in Chimray Dike, now just 2 weeks out from his second annual football camp at Waukesha North High School. That's happening on June 17th. It benefits the Kai Lerner Memorial Fund. I know Kai was a good friend of yours. He passed away back in 2019 due to an undiagnosed heart condition. Chim, why was it important for you to have this camp and really be able to help support that fund in his memory?
Yeah, you know, I think it's obviously something that, you know, hit close to home. I knew I wanted to make a difference, especially when his parents started the fund, to prevent things like this from happening, because I know how much it impacted my community. And, you know, this is just a way that I can kind of give back and, do something that's important to me and important to the people around me, and something that's positive for the community.
So the camp is for kids entering third grade through 10th grade. I know you had a bunch of current players there with you last year. I saw you have a bunch more this year. Braylon Allen, Hunter Wohler, Tanner Mordecai is going to be out there. CJ Williams, Jack Nelson, Muma Jong Meta. I know that there's others. What can parents expect at the camp? What can kids expect at the camp with all you guys being there?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a special opportunity, one that I didn't have, to get around players who are playing at a high level. You know, we got pretty much every position covered, which is pretty cool. I think it's a good experience to have fun and enjoy the game. You know, I think a lot of times, especially, you know, position we're in, it starts becoming a little bit of a business. And it's just a day where, you know, we can have the love of the game. Hopefully they can take a thing or two away from a player who has a lot of knowledge gained over the years and get up close. And hopefully we can be a little bit of an inspiration for those kids.
What is it about the camp that you like so much?
You know, for me, it's, being around the kids and honestly seeing my teammates, enjoy it. I remember last year, Braylon Allen was running around having more fun than maybe even the kids were. So being able to see stuff like that, and gain that experience and, you know, give back to my community that, helped me put me in the position I am in today, is something that, you know, I really take away from the camp.
It should be a good time. Again, coming up on June 17th. You also have some other stuff going on right now. Summer workouts got underway recently for you guys. We know how different winter workouts were than in the past. I know it's early, but is the summer kind of the same way so far? A lot different than past years?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot different. Obviously still working out and, you know, still giving that effort. But Coach Brady's doing a great job of, you know, helping us transform our bodies. I think the group of guys, is we're a lot more comfortable with each other. You know, we got a lot closer, which is definitely important when you come this season, because when you have those challenges, you have those tough games or tough, you know, drives, you're able to get through that when you have guys next to you that, you know, you can count on. And, we've had some really good days through the first 2 weeks, and I'm just excited to keep building.
I know there was the talk about the mat drills and like how that was a little bit different than past years. Is there anything that stood out to you these first 2 weeks that is a lot different? And, you know, you guys kind of, you know, ooh, this is not the same.
I think just the tempo of our workouts, honestly. We go through lists really fast. We push ourselves to try to be the most efficient we can. I think that kind of, you know, emulates and is kind of similar to, you know, the way we operate on the field. You know, we want to be quick. We want to put people on their toes. We want to put the pressure on the defense. And You know, I think that, you know, we train the exact same way. So it kind of prepares us for practice, prepares us for the season as well.
So spring ball got done April 25th. You guys had, what, about a month off? I'm sure it's different for everybody, but what did you do with that month off? I know finishing up a little bit of school there, but what did you do with that month off? Is it work out, take some time off, get away, clear your head? What did you do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a finish up final, so I did that. End of the semester pretty well, which I was happy about. But then, you know, I went back home for a couple of weeks, was able to train at next level, which I love to do because, you know, my trainer, Brad Arnett, he's pretty good at what he does. I feel like I'm able to better myself when I go home. And I was able to, you know, spend time with friends that I don't get to see as much, you know, that I went to high school with, and, you know, kind of just enjoy myself, spend time with family. So it's really nice to be able to, you know, continue to work hard and continue to work on your body and get ready for the season, but still be able to reset and maybe take a little time to yourself before you really get back to the summer and get going again.
Because those really are only, I mean, I'm thinking after the bowl game, you get a few weeks and then you get a few weeks after spring ball, and that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we have a couple days, 4th of July this year, but, you know, we're pretty much going all year round, which, you know, can be a grind, but I love it. You know, this is what I love to do. This is what my teammates love to do. So anytime we can be on campus and around the guys, it's definitely a fun and special time.
What do your summer throwing sessions look like? No coaches, right? Like who organizes those? When do they start? Have they already started? What do those look like for people on the outside looking in?
Yeah, I mean, and during the summer, you know, you can't have coaches involved in any of the throwing sessions and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, Tanner will communicate to, you know, me and some of the other older guys in the receiver room. And we'll work out times, you know, where we can get going and kind of get, you know, our feet underneath us so we can build up for the season. You know, we had one this morning. So, you know, those guys do a great job, the quarterback especially. You know, scheduling that and organizing what routes we're going to run and stuff like that. And we kind of communicate how our bodies are feeling and what we think we need. So it's just a nice time to be able to get some more chemistry with the QBs, especially, you know, after the spring, being able to build what we built. So when we come into fall camp, we're even more prepared.
How many guys are out there usually? Is it everybody or is it just depend on the day?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the day. But I'd say, you know, most of the time we got a whole group out there, which is really nice. You know, we're able to work our chemistry with different quarterbacks and stuff like that, just work on our routes and, you know, kind of build up that rapport. So when we go into fall camp, like I said before, you know, we're taking another step forward towards the offense that we want to be come season time.
I feel like I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyways. Are the DBs involved at all? Do you any work against DBs in the summer in these workouts at all?
We haven't in the summer so far. Normally it's just working on our timing and stuff like that.
Got it.
You know, what you want to do on air because, you know, getting that timing down first and getting, you know, your routes and when you know the ball's going to come, then you can adjust off that once you have a DB, you know, coming to play.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Well, the media was able to see all 15 practices in the spring. So we kind of have an idea of what the offense might look like this fall. Fans got just that one practice and I don't think it was the greatest look at what you guys had done most of the spring. But if I gave you one word to describe what fans should expect this fall from you guys, what would it be?
I think probably would have to be explosive. You know, I think we have a lot of playmakers at every single position that can make explosive plays. And, you know, I'm really excited to, you know, see what we can do in the spring. Like, you know, obviously the one practice we had, I don't think our offense or the fans saw, I don't think our offense played up to, you know, our standard that we set. But at the same time, you know, we're growing and I like the way we were going during spring on a consistent basis, how we were playing. So I think as long as we keep working and getting our timing up and, you know, getting our bodies right, when fall comes, you know, you'll see that offense continue to grow.
It felt like towards the end of spring, they kind of had you moving around. They had you on the left side. They had you on the right side. Do you anticipate that continuing into fall camp? Or are they just, you know, because it felt like everybody else was kind of not stationary, but, you know, stuck into one side or maybe stuck at the slot. For you, it's all over the place. Does that just give them a little bit more flexibility, do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I played, you know, pretty much everywhere on the field in college, you know, at the receiver position. So, you know, I want to be that piece that, you know, can move around and, you know, help us, you know, wherever spot we need. I want to be a versatile receiver. I feel like that's a really strong suit in my game. So anywhere I can help the team anywhere, you know, whether it's the left side, right side, in the slot, You know, we got a lot of guys that can play, and I want to just be able to help our team.
You say you've got a lot of guys that can play, and I am. I'm fascinated by the wide receiver room and the depth in there. I know Phil Longo wants to play six. It feels like you could have eight or nine capable of playing, maybe more. I don't know. How do you think that's going to play out? Are there enough balls to go around? And again, I know this is just crazy for Wisconsin fans to think about this, but you're going to be throwing the ball quite a bit. I know the run game's still going to be a huge, huge part of it. It's probably going to be closer to 50-50, but there's going to be a lot of passes to ground. Are there going to be enough for all the talent that's in that wide receiver room?
You know, I think one thing Coach Longo, you know, has proven throughout his career, obviously, you know, I can't really answer that question because I'm not in the season yet, but one thing that you can, if you look at his resume, you know, he's able to utilize a lot of players in his offense. There's a lot of players who have had successful seasons within the same season. I think there's one year where he had almost 2,000 yard receivers and 2,000 yard rushers. So I think that shows, you know, that he's able to get the ball in playmakers' hands and you know, able to, you know, cater his offense to the strong suits of his players. So, you know, I'm not worried about that. All I'm worried about is me and my teammates being as prepared as we can be for when our number's called and making as many plays as we can.
So the first week of camp, it came out this week, is going to be in Platteville. What do you expect that to be like? What was the reaction from the rest of the roster? Because Wisconsin, for history-wise, this isn't certainly anything that is abnormal. They used to do this all the time back. Well, I'm dating myself here, Jim. It was 20 years ago that this stopped happening. But before that, they used to be out the seminary, which is a little bit different situation. They would do 3-a-days. Had great stories in this podcast from Matt Bernstein about the 3-a-days that they would do. Just absolutely crazy and completely different situation than what you guys are going to be in. But going down to Platteville for that week, living together, living in the dorms, I assume. Any expectations what that's going to be like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be really great. You know, fall camp is definitely a time where you can lock in on football, and I think this just furthers that. Being able to be around the guys, you know, 24/7, and you know, not only hold on our craft as a team, you know, offensively and defensively, but be able to build those relationships with those guys. You know, spending time in the dorms and stuff like that. I think it's going to be a really good opportunity. You know, for a team that has some young guys and has some guys that, you know, came in and transferred. To be able to build up the rapport with the rest of the team and, you know, get us clicking the way we need to come season time.
What was the reaction from the guys when you guys were told? Was everybody excited about it? Was there like some maybe trepidation about it, some uneasiness about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, guys are excited. You know, we know fall camp's a time to grind, so we don't really care where we are. You know, we could really be anywhere as long as, you know, we're improving as a team and getting better. That's what matters.
All right. Hey, where can people go to sign up for the camp? Just give us a little bit more information about that.
Yeah, you can, you know, go on any of my social media, in my bio, or it should be like a pinned tweet on my Twitter, or ChimerDKCamp.com is also where you can access it. You can just look up ChimerDK Football Camp on Google. There's a bunch of ways you can do it. But, you know, we're super excited. Year one was really, really great. And I think that we're building, you know, something really special that we continue to do. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of the guys are looking forward to it. It's coming up here fast. So, you know, it should be really fun.
Again, really appreciate your time. As you said, chimraydkcamp.com to sign up. It's grades 3-10. If you don't have kids that age, you can also still contribute to the cause by donating to the Kai Lerner Memorial Fund. Chimray, really appreciate it, man. And I look forward to seeing camp in a couple weeks.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, there he was, Chimray DK. Really appreciate his time. Make sure to check out chimraydkcamp.com if you're interested in sending your kids there. It's coming up on June 17th. Jesse, we will be back next week and have, I'm sure, more commits to talk about. Until then, thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, there he is, Jesse Temple from The Athletic. You've been listening to The Camp.